that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we do thank you and praise you so much, Lord, for the day. We thank you so much to see our brothers, our sisters here tonight. Lord, we thank you so much for the safe journey. Lord, for Brother Goomba, Bosworth, and Meta. And Lord, for the good journey that you gave him. We just thank you and praise you. And Lord, we lift up your lovely name. We thank you for coming on the scene, for Sister Esther, for Sharon. Lord, for touching her. And Lord, giving that which was needed, Father. Lord, may you guide us now in the words. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you can be seated. Now it's, I'm just happy. I'm just happy. Yeah, it's so good to see Brother Goomba and to see Bosworth. And I tell you, we had it all planned out. We were coming to the airport yesterday. And so we're going to give them a good welcome. And so then after yesterday, she told us that they missed the flight. And because of the immigration and those things, and said that, so then I started looking for another way. I told Brother Goomba, I said, I thought about canceling the service and just let's all go to the airport. And then I thought, let's move the service till Thursday and then we'll do it like that. And I was looking for every way. And I just said, well, and I talked to Brother Goomba yesterday. We talked about an hour and a half. And I think everybody was sleeping but him. And so we had some good fellowship, and I just was, he knew my heart was to be there, but we had to stand at our duty, and so we thank God for that. Now, we're planning on now having a dinner on Sunday to welcome Brother Goomba back and to welcome Brother Bosworth to the USA and to our fellowship. And for Meta, and we thank God for, it's been a long time coming. They've been working on this a long time. And so, you know, when you do something and it's just takes a minute, it's not much. You don't think so much about it. But when you spend years, when you spend this kind of time and money and trouble and agony and all of those things, then you just put up your hands and you think, thank God. Just thank God. So it's quite an achievement. And especially now, at this time, I hear people say all the time, that I have customers that, I don't know how, that God put me in the most liberal place around Davison and around the lake. And these doctors and professors are the most liberal people that you ever met. And they always got to make a remark. They're always making remarks about it. And so I had one say the other day that they had some family coming from somewhere and they had the visa, they had everything, but they were afraid that they were going to be caught by ICE and sent back. And I'm like, it doesn't even make sense. You have a visa to visit America from Germany and you're afraid ICE is going to get you. And then one of them is going to go to Canada. Because they were afraid to come here, and it's like this stuff doesn't even make sense. And then here, in the midst of all of that, at the same time, Brother Benjamin was with me one day, and I was like, let's see what they say about it now. Is he afraid he's going to get sent back? He's got a visa. He's here legally. It's like people don't want to understand that it's the illegal fraction that is the problem. And so, there's no use. But anyways, so they announced the dinner. We're looking forward to that on Sunday. And we want to say now concerning Sister Esther and Sharon, when we put out the request for your prayers for Sister Sharon, we didn't tell you the seriousness of the issue. But Sharon was on life support. She was in a coma, and it looked like she was going to die. That's what it looked like. Mm-hmm. And so then she came back. She came back. And so it was a miracle. Amen. And we thank God for coming on the scene. We thank you for your prayers for her and for Sister Esther and the family there. It was very serious, very serious. And so I just, when she told me that she had woke up out of the coma, I thought, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's the hand of God. And so we appreciate that so much. And now I want to say that next week I'm going to be leaving to take my mom back to Florida. She's been with us now for some time, and I thank you for your prayers for her. She's, as she keeps telling me, she's 86 years old. And Rhonda finally proved to her by the calendar that she's really 87. But she's about missed the last whole year. And so she's old and she's failing, she's forgetting, she's having a hard time. And so, but God, in his mercy and grace, is helping her day by day. And we're trying to take care of her and protect her from herself. And we don't want her to have to go into some kind of facility. And she doesn't want to do that. She's been on her own all of these years. And so it's really hard. And but the problem is when you think there's nothing wrong with you and you think you don't need anybody and you don't want anybody to help you, then you have a problem. And so we're just continue to pray for us and for her so that we can help her and hold on to her as long as we can. So I said the dinner on Sunday, the Sunday's also Sister Edith's birthday. It's also Father's Day. So all of those good things will be happening at one time. And so we'll just be looking forward to that fellowship. And so now let us get into the message now. And we've been working on this, thought. Somehow I got onto it here, but I've been ministering on it on Wednesdays, our morning, their evening, for Brother Joshua on the Capstone group. And, it's been really good. We've enjoyed, ministering there for, the ones that come on. And it's been a real blessing. So this message tonight, this first quote is back in 1956, in the Lamb's Book of Life. And, we're going to read here, and then I want to get to the message, the Easter seal, if we can. The Bible said, "In the beginning was the Word," St. John 1, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning, when time began, see, it was eternity before that, and this is in time we're talking about. And eternity is like a panoramic. Now, he used that word panoramic. He said eternity is like a panoramic. And so I went and I looked up that word because when I think of that word, I just think of a wide view, a picture. And so, and that's what it is. But it's also, I thought of it in terms of when you go to the ocean and you're looking at the ocean, it's a panoramic. When you stand at the shore where the waves are coming in, and you're looking out at the ocean, that's all you see. You don't see any land. You don't see anything else. All you see is endless. It's just endless what you're looking at. And that's what Brother Branham is talking about, eternity. It takes in all of it. It is just endless. You can't put time to it because it's not time. It is just, it's just eternity. So, then he says, see, it never ends. It's a circle. Continually, forever, and forever, and forever. It's an endless wheel that never stops, never has an end to it. And I put the definition there, but if you look down toward the bottom of it there, go on down just a little bit more. Yeah, this including all aspects of a subject, wide ranging. So Brother Branham is saying eternity is like a panoramic. Mm-hmm. And the definition's perfect. Yes. Because that's exactly what eternity is. Amen. It's all of it. Yes. It's the fullness of it. Yes. And it's all in Him. That's why Brother Branham said that all of it's in Christ. He said the millennium's in Christ. He said everything is in Christ. It's all in Him. Yes, and so it is just the fullness of the whole thing. It's the entirety of it. And that's one of the things that Brother Branham labored on when he was bringing it. In paragraph 49, now Satan put a break in there, and he come here and would have spoiled the whole thing. But God seen where there would be a space of time. God knew it was going to happen. He knew that what Satan was going to do. He knew the fall was going to be there. And we talked about that. We talked about how each one of those characters was made for that specific job. Pharaoh was made specifically so that his heart could be hardened, so that he would not let them go over and over and over again, so that God could show His glory and His power and all that He wanted to express, all the attributes that He wanted to display in that day. Amen. Through the ministry of Moses and through the life of Pharaoh. Yes, and so God was using that to display His attributes. Amen. And so the same in the garden. And so those things, that woman, our mother, Eve, she was the mother of all of us. She was made specifically for that purpose. Yes, now, if you don't, you read marriage, if you don't believe it, read Marriage and Divorce. She was the only female that was not in the original. No, she was not in the original, the only one.
That's right.
And the reason she was made that way is so that she could fulfill God's purpose.
Amen.
Now, you think, well, now you're saying the opposite of what Brother Branham said. No, not exactly. I'm not. You look at it really close. That's exactly what he's saying. And every one of us here tonight was made for a purpose. God made you for a purpose. And God not only made you for a purpose, He said that He spent these thousands of years breeding people together to get you exactly how He wanted you to be. Everything about you, all your characteristics, your personality, all you, and you, we can sit here, every one of us, and we say, well, I got this fault and that fault. God knew exactly what you was going to have.
Amen.
And He knew He was going to put every one of us right together.
Yes.
He knew where we were going to maybe rub shoulders and disagree on something or just that or the other. Yes. But He had something. He had a purpose. He had a purpose because He was going to be proving His word all the way through.
Yes.
He was proving His word with Adam.
Amen.
That's exactly what He was doing. Adam was a perfect type of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
Brother Branham didn't just say He was a type. He said He was a perfect type of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And then He turned around and He said that He was a type of the carnal, lukewarm church member.
Yes, sir.
Why? Once He had failed. But before, when He took His wife and He walked out to save His wife, He was a perfect type.
Amen.
Of Christ.
That's right.
He was made. He couldn't do anything else.
Amen.
And I've said that over and over. And I feel, Brother Goomba, I'm coming to that place where you feel like people think you're a broken record. You just keep saying the same thing and same thing. And but it just sometimes. Sometimes it just, you feel pressed. You just feel pressed and you just keep, you can't get away from it and you have to say it. And so, Adam had a purpose.
Yes.
Eve had a purpose.
Amen.
Everybody has a purpose.
Yes, sir.
And so you can't change what God made you to be.
Amen.
He made you specifically for that. He gave you just the amount of intelligence He wanted you to have. He gave you just the right amount of this quality and that quality.
Amen.
But on the bottom of all that you are in this physical, in your natural spirit, beneath all of that, there's one underlying factor that every one of us have. And that is the nature of God.
Amen.
That is the soul of God.
Yes, sir.
And the soul of God comes in every single one of the seed of God, the elect of God, comes into every one of them and displays Jesus Christ in their personality, in their flesh, in their makeup, in their looks, and everything about them. It's Jesus Christ manifesting Himself in that person.
Amen.
And that's the thing that ties us together.
That's right.
That's the thing that binds us together. That's the thing that when the world is condemning and calling out, and then you it draws you closer together.
Amen.
Because it's God.
Yeah.
And you know it's God.
Amen.
See? As he began to see every human being that ever would come on the earth, every bird, every flea, every fly, hallelujah. That makes him the almighty, eternal, ever-present God. That's the one we serve this morning, see? And way back in the beginning, when he seen that there was some people who was going to desire to be saved, before the foundation of the world, God, and Brother Branham said many times, by his foreknowledge, did, and I keep reminding you, he said that it wasn't his will for this one to be saved and that one not to be saved.
Amen.
And he said, God don't save by desire.
That's right.
Think about that. That's quite a statement. Amen. God don't save by desire. He don't predestinate, I'm sorry. He don't predestinate by desire.
Right.
So it's not an emotional decision God's making. He's not looking down and saying, well, you just look like somebody I like, you know, and somebody else, maybe I don't feel so good about you. No, it's not by desire. It's not by emotion. It's not by those things.
That's right.
It's by something else.
Yes, sir.
And that's what people fail. That's where they fail when they take the quotes that say God, he didn't predestinate this one to this or to that. But he just knew what you were going to do. He knew what you, because you're on free moral agency, which you are. He knew the decisions that you was going to make.
Yes, sir.
And so if you take that idea all the way through, then everyone who makes the decision to follow Christ, now God is obligated. Now they've got to be saved. Because it's free moral agency and they have declared they want to serve God. But it becomes, just like all revelation, there's always a little twist in there somewhere. There's always a little something there that's not laying on the surface. There's something that's underlying that it takes in order to see and understand what he's talking about.
Yes,
sir. And so when you follow him all the way through, you find out, as we read the other night, there's two groups of people. And one of them has the seed of God in them, and the other group doesn't have the seed of God in there. And so one group, no matter how religious they are, they cannot receive the revelation of God for the day and the age that they're living in because they don't have the seed. And in the seed comes the revelation. Because the seed is quickened to life, and that's God himself. That's the eternal part. That's God himself coming and revealing to you who he is.
Yes, sir.
Who he is and who you are.
Amen.
And so then there's another group and they don't have that seed in there. That seed's not in there. So Brother Branham said it like this. He said there's nothing in there to quicken. Nothing to quicken. So if you can't quicken it, if you can't bring it to life, then you can't give it revelation. Now you can talk to it. And you can talk to it with intellect. You can talk to it with the physical mind, with the carnal mind, with any other kind of way. And you can try to persuade. Just as God gave Cain the opportunity. But Cain, when the word came to Cain, there was nothing in there to quicken.
That's right.
Because if there was, when he heard the word, it would have done the same thing to him that it did to Abel. God would have quickened that and it would have became alive, and he would have desired to do it.
Amen.
He seen that there was some people who was going to desire to be saved. And I just love this because it's different. You don't read this every day. You read many other ways that he says it.
Yeah.
You read how that God had attributes that he wanted to be a savior. Mm-hmm. And so he had to fulfill those attributes. Mm-hmm. But now that's not what he's saying now. He's putting it now on you.
Yes, sir.
He's putting it on you. And he's saying God knew there was going to be some people that was going to desire
Amen.
To be saved. Which that's interesting because nobody can come, nobody can have a desire unless he gives them the desire.
Amen. That's right.
That's what he said.
Yep.
Nobody can come except he draws you to come to him. Nobody desires it unless he puts the desire in there and makes you want him. He's the one who does it. He goes and finds you. He went and found Adam. He went and found Eve.
Yeah.
He found them. He was looking for them. And he knew that in this last days, every seed, where it would be, and he knew the time that he was going to come and quicken that seed.
Amen.
And they were going to receive him, the word, in this last day.
Yes, sir.
Now, I got a quote, and it just... I wanted to read this, but it was one of those things that I read this morning. And then when it just says, just like 2 minutes before I was coming out, I thought this would go perfect right here. And so I'm going to read it. And so you don't have it. So I'm sorry. So this is, I think that this is in Questions and Answers in 1954. Now, the first thing I'm getting to here is to know this, that it is God's grace that any of you are saved today. We all believe that, don't we? We all know that it's the grace of God. We all know that revelation comes by grace.
Amen.
That you can't get it any other way. You're not going to pray so much and then you earned it. You're going to pray so much and you get through. You're not going to study so much that you get it. You're not going to have a certain IQ or intellectual amount that is going to give it to you.
Amen.
It is 100% grace.
Yes, sir.
It's 100% God gives revelation to who he wants to.
Amen.
And nobody else gets it.
Right.
Absolutely only who he gives it to. See? So it's just grace that anyone saved. It wasn't your will to be saved. Now, we just read where he said he knew there was going to be some people that was going to desire. How did he know it? Because he put the seed in there.
Amen.
He put the seed in there. But it's something greater than that. And that is the very fact that God had attributes. God had something in him. That attribute, we won't use the word desire because he said he didn't predestinate. By desire. But he had attributes in him of what he was. And those attributes, think about this now. I don't think I've said this before. Those attributes, or I haven't said it like this. If God is the only eternal that there is, then, and we have to be a part of that.
Yes.
That we agree on that. We agree on that. So then if God had attributes and those attributes are God's thoughts and the thoughts of God are eternal.
Yes,
is that right?
Yes, sir.
So then there, right there, you cannot get away from the fact that the bride has to be the very same attribute. You're the same nature. You're the same eternal life. You're the same everything. So everything that he is, that's what you are.
Yes, sir.
And that's the reason that Adam was a perfect type. Because he had the same nature.
Amen.
He had the same desire. He had the same thinking.
Amen.
And as I said also on that several times, He had a choice. He had a choice, but he didn't have a choice. His nature would only allow him to save his wife.
Yes, sir.
That was the only thing. He gave up everything for his wife.
Yes, sir.
That was the nature. That was the life. That was the attribute that was in him.
Amen.
He couldn't do anything else. He was not deceived. He knew what he was doing, and he did it on purpose.
Yes, sir.
And he did it for his wife.
That's right.
Now you tell me where that came from.
Amen.
That came from above.
Yes, sir.
God put that in there. God knew. God knew what he was going to do.
Yes, sir.
He made a woman that could fall. There was not another female in all of creation that could fall. But he made her a perversion of the original creation. She was not in the original. So that could take place. If you start messing with that, you're going to make it an accident.
Yes, sir.
You're going to make Satan getting over on God.
That's right.
Satan didn't get over on God.
Amen.
Satan fulfilled the purpose of God.
Absolutely.
Pharaoh fulfilled the purpose of God.
Yes, sir.
Brother Branham said, you look out and you think, oh man, everything's all messed up. Brother Branham said, no, it's perfectly on time.
Amen.
God's great clock, God's great timepiece. He said everything's just right on time, right in line.
Amen.
To the rejection, to the condemnation,
yes, sir.
To the receiving of the revelation,
yes, sir.
To the manifestation of the revelation. All of it's on time. Every child that you have, it's right on time.
Yes, sir.
You didn't get it. You don't get something that's coming next week back there because God, in his great foreknowledge, knew when it was time for you to get that trial.
That's right.
And he placed it at the right place.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes you think, oh Lord, I can't take no more. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Because he's going to see you through it.
Yeah.
He's the one that's doing it. He's proving. He's proven himself. And he's vindicating himself in you.
Amen.
And right when you think you can't take no more, you find out that he leads you through it. That he gives you that strength. That he gives you whatever you need to go through.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
It wasn't your will to be saved. But God knew there was going to be some people that wanted to be. Because they had a desire. Because he put it in them. So, what's he talking about? He's talking about two different people. He's talking about the natural man who don't have no desire to be saved. And he's talking about the spiritual man who only wants what God wants.
Amen.
He only wants to serve God, only wants to fulfill the attributes of God, the purpose of God in your life.
Right.
This natural man, Paul says, he's always fighting. Always fighting. He said, I do what I don't want to do.
Yep.
He said, I don't do what I want to do. Who's he talking about? He's talking about that fight going on.
Yes.
He's talking about the spiritual man and the flesh man. He's talking about the difference of those. And it's so the same thing here. It wasn't your will. Man by nature is a rebellion against God. See? And he rebelled in the Garden of Eden. He's fallen from grace and run from God. He hid from God. And it's the nature of man to do that. See? Now the Bible also says gifts and callings are without repentance. Not what you repented, not none of your righteousness, not gifts and callings are without, see, gifts and callings are without repentance. It's God's foreknowledge. God knew. He knew. And we talked about that word on Sunday. That foreknowledge. And I shouldn't get ahead of myself, but we're already talking about that. God knew. He knew before. So there's something deeper to foreknowledge than just saying he knew what was going to happen. There's something deeper than that. Because this knowledge of knowing goes back to the same thing of Adam knowing his wife. He knew his wife, and she brought forth a son. And Brother Branham said that word means relationship. It's relationship.
Amen.
And so that relationship, You can say, oh no, that's the new birth. That's that relationship. No, 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 no. There's a greater relationship. That is that seed that was his attribute that was in his thinking before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
That there was a relationship there.
Yes.
And Brother Branham said, that's the eternal life that's in you. And he said, if that is not in you today, it was not in you, it will never be. He said, if it's not in you right now, it will never be in you.
Amen.
That's what he's telling the people he's preaching to. If it's not in you, it's not going to be in you. Because this was done before the foundation of the world. God knew you before the foundation of the world. God had a relationship with you before the foundation of the world. As we said, and I'm going to read it again one of these days, where he said in the Church Ages book, he's talking about the bride. And he said, let me ask you a question. Are the thoughts of God eternal? He said, yes, they are eternal.
Amen.
And that bride is eternal. That bride was in his thinking. And that bride is the same. He said that is the same as a man who chooses his wife. He said a man, a woman just doesn't simply say, are you listening to this? A woman just doesn't simply say, I want such and such. No, he said it is the man that chooses the bride. So then, your free moral agency is to accept or reject. It's not you that are desiring, it's not you that are searching, it's not you that are finding him. It is you that are accepting his invitation. And the only way you get the invitation is if you were in him, in his thinking before the foundation of the world. And that thinking, the thoughts of God, Brother Branham said, if you can see this, you will see many things. He said, the thoughts of God are eternal. And if you see that, if you can see that, watch how many times that ties in to different subjects, to different revelations.
Amen.
It's there.
Yes.
And if you can see that, then it touches on so many things. It touches on the soul. It touches on the soul. It touches on the new birth. It touches on free moral agency. It touches on all of these things.
Amen.
Because the thoughts of God are eternal. And he said that truth, that fact, gives an eternal quality to the bride.
Amen.
Think on that. It's God's foreknowledge, see? I believe that God in the Garden of Eden, before the Garden of Eden, before that God knew the end from the beginning. See, I believe that. And everything in the great clock, the great picture, is just moving in and nothing can stop it. It's going to be just exactly according to what God said it would be. That's right. Now, I hope I'm not hurting your feelings. See, said the greatest support I have on the field is the Pentecostals because they believe the message of divine healing and the power of God. But the problem is that's just about as far as they go on a lot of revelation. And so, it's the same thing today. That's come right over into the message, and they still believe the same thing. They believe in divine healing. They believe in the power of God. And then, somehow or another, the revelation doesn't appeal so much. It doesn't excite them. And so, they don't even talk about it. I told you about this guy that I was talking to some time ago, goes to a message church. He's a grown man. He's married. His wife was raised in the message. I don't know if he was raised in the message, but they've been in the message many years. And so we were just working together one day. He was doing some work for me. And I said, Brother, I said, what do you think about those seven thunder mysteries? And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. And we're talking about a man goes to a message church, been in the message for years, never heard of the seven thunders. I'm like, I couldn't even believe it. I was like, I'm talking about Revelation 10, the seven thunders. He said, I don't know anything about it. I'm like, you know, sometimes you ask two or three times. It's like, do you really mean you did? You don't know nothing about? Are you serious? Are you? Am I hearing? Is that what you said?
No.
We're talking about the message.
Amen.
We're talking about the bride's message.
That's right.
We're talking about the bride's relationship.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about that secret, that love letter that he is speaking
Amen.
To his wife. Making himself known to her. That's what we're talking about. He didn't even know it's in the Bible. Little known in the message. It's just the rest of them turn their noses up at it. But just individuals out of the church who's predestinated to eternal life, they'll come. See? Who? The ones predestinated. The ones predetermined. The ones preordained. They're the ones. They're the only ones. That's all. See? But those who are not cannot come. God said so, see? They were predestinated to condemnation.
Amen.
Whoa, there's the other side. There's your Pharaoh. One side's predestinated to have a desire to be saved. One side's predestinated to love the word, to love the word, and to obey the word, and to manifest the word.
Amen.
And one is predestinated to condemnation. The brother was talking the other night. When you go to some of these countries, especially India, where they make these clay pots, and you, especially when you get out of the cities, they're still making them, and you see them make them. And something happens in the process of that, and it's not just right. They don't think nothing about busting it up, just throwing it on the pile. They don't think nothing about it. But if they have one that they've made it special and they've made it beautiful and they've done all that, they take special care.
Yes.
They take special care. And that's what I've always said. That the bride of every age is given special care.
Amen.
She's given special privilege. She's given special attention. She's given what nobody else is given.
Amen.
You just can't... You love all humanity, you love all people, but you love your own more.
Yep.
You can't help it. It just, you love your own, you're going to do for your own. And that, I don't want that to sound wrong. But we're talking about the seed of God and the seed of Satan.
Amen.
And David said in the Psalms, he said, "Blessed is the man that God will not impute iniquity." Do you know what iniquity means? I know you know what iniquity means. It means when you know what's wrong and you do it anyways. That's exactly what David did. David knew what adultery was. He knew what it was to take another man's wife. And he did it anyways for his own lust. And he knew that it was the grace of God because he pronounced the death sentence on himself. He pronounced it. He said, "Let that man die." How did he not? He was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
And you look at that grace. You look at that grace that was extended to him. And you think how many people today, even how many people today say, "God should have killed him." Well, no. When you put yourself
yes, sir.
Right there in that place, you'll think, remember now, the scripture said, you will be judged the way that you're judged.
Yes, sir.
However you're judging everyone else, that's exactly what's coming back home.
Amen.
Just remember that. When you start thinking like that, grace starts abounding. It really starts multiplying. And you're like, my mom used to tell me, and you've heard this all your life, but every time you point the finger, you got all of these are pointing back. Yeah. So there's more against you all the time.
Yes,
see, now, they were predestinated to condemnation. He's not willing now that any should perish. But being God, he's seen they would condemn it. Huh? That's all. He foresaw it. And that's what the foreknowledge of God is. To see those things. And he predicted the church just where it would be standing right to this very day. And God knew it from the beginning. Before the foundation of the world, He knew the church would be just the way it is today. He knew before the foundation of the world that I'd be standing in this pulpit tonight. He's God. He knows the end from the beginning. Praise be to God. Okay. Let me get back in my message. I'm about to continue on. I was looking for something else. All right, where were we at? Way back in the beginning. Way back in the beginning, see, when he seen that there was some people who was going to desire to be saved. Some people who was going to want to be saved. Some people who would be loyal in their heart. They wanted to be saved, see. Then he's got to make preparations. He's got to make preparations for their salvation. That's right. Or they'll never be saved. There was a deep calling to a deep.
Yes, sir.
There was a deep calling. And Adam, he got that desire real fast.
Amen.
As soon as he fell, as soon as things went south, then he had a need. God had made a way before the foundation of the world. God had made the way.
Amen.
And he knows anything that's imperfect cannot come into heaven. So he has to make a way of perfection for that. Amen. You see it? Then back there, he said, I myself will come down into the world and take on human flesh. And I'll pay the penalty that's required here. I'll take the place and I'll make them perfect. Because I'll bring them in me. I will bring them in me.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's what he's saying he would do. But we read in Ephesians that he also said that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So it was that was in him. It was that was a part of him is what he chose. And that's what he knew. That's what he foreknew was going to desire to be saved. That's what he foreknew was going to accept the message in their age.
Amen.
That's what he knew. Because they were chosen in him. They were the seed. They were the predestinated of God.
That's right.
And he said, I'll make them perfect. See, because I'll bring them back in me. I am perfect. And then when Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as those that God is perfect. Now, I was listening to a preacher yesterday, and this thing really, it struck me. What was it that they faulted Jesus for? Because he thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. Rather, those things have got to become real to us. You can't say that you are in union. You can't say that you have that eternal life and not say that you are God in flesh.
Amen.
You are a part of God.
Right.
And Adam was God of the earth. Adam was God over nature. Adam was God over everything on the earth.
Amen.
God put him there.
Yep.
And put him over all of it and put him in control of it.
Yes, sir.
You just whatever you say. And he has been trying ever since to get us to accept that same faith.
Amen.
He's been trying to get us back to that thing. To recognize that we are sons and daughters of God.
That's right.
And if you're going to really recognize that you are a son and daughter, then you're going to have to stand just like Christ.
Yes.
And know that it's not robbery to be identified a part of him.
That's right.
It's not robbery to say that you and God are one.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Amen.
So how do you get into that body? Did we get that last? Oh, Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as those that God is perfect. Be ye therefore perfect as he's perfect. How do you get into that body? How do you get in it? The Bible said in Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but the Spirit. They don't care what the world says or what anybody else says or even what their family says. They walk in the Spirit of God in perfect divine love. You see it? How do you get in it? By joining the church? By shaking the hand? By water baptism? No! No. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body and become the members of that body.
Amen.
That is forever settled. That was revealed in Paul's day, but that was settled in heaven before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
I can't remember the scripture we read the other day, but he identified that there's two groups of people on the earth, and one of them has the Spirit of God, and the other one don't have the Spirit of God.
Right.
One of them has the seed of God, and one of them don't have the seed of God.
That's right.
And that you're not, that's just it.
Amen.
By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And that body is Christ. And that body is perfect.
Yeah.
And when you get into that body, you now are perfect because you're a part of the body.
Amen.
That same perfection applies to you.
Yes,
he said, be ye therefore perfect.
That's right.
How can you be? Get in the body.
Amen.
Get in the body, and that protection, that perfection is you.
Yes.
There's only one eternal life.
Right.
See, then it's not what I've done, what I am, who I was, or nothing about it, see? It's what God has done for me in Christ. And we are perfected with our sacrifice. Now, how did you get in there? God, by foreknowledge. I like it. Huh? He foreknew. I tell you, when I started talking about this foreknowledge and Adam knowing his wife and relating that together, I had some second thoughts. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to say this wrong. I don't want to say it wrong. And Brother Guma and I was talking about that then. He encouraged me a bit. But it can't be any other way. It cannot. And it goes right back again to those eternal thoughts of God. The bride was in his mind before the foundation of the world. You were a part of those attributes. You were a part of those eternal thoughts. That means that the God that cannot add to his knowledge, that cannot add to his perfection, he cannot add.
Yes.
Everything that he is, well, he always was.
Amen.
He always was. And so much so that he said that these others that are claiming, he can say that I never knew you. No matter how religious they were, no matter how powerful they were, how great they were, and they come and they testify to all of the works that they did, all the preaching they did, all the casting out of devils, and for God, who knows all things, to say, I never knew you. If he could say that about them, then there's absolutely no doubt that this relationship, this foreknowledge, this oneness with God was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
There's nothing that bugs me more than somebody trying to take eternal life and make a switch.
Yeah.
You don't have it. There's none there. Now you have it. Now you're eternal. That's not the message I'm reading.
Amen.
That's not the message. That's not the Bible that I'm reading.
Amen.
And when that idea is being projected, it just bugs me. I'm sorry, I can't help it.
Amen.
It bugs me. It doesn't make natural sense, and it don't make spiritual sense.
That's right. Amen.
So, you know, some things, you gotta get it in the spirit. There's some things, it don't matter how you look at it, it just don't work. And that's one of them. If you're eternal, you have no beginning and no ending.
Yes, sir.
Don't mess with it.
Amen.
Don't help it. That's what Sarah did. She was trying to help it. It don't need help.
Amen.
Leave it just like it is. It's perfect.
That's
it's
right.
Perfect. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the perfection. And the perfection is him. And if you're in that body, you're perfect. The body's perfect, you're perfect. And I took that part out, but I'm telling it to you. God said that Jesus, God, by foreknowledge, when He was the Word in the beginning, He perceived. See? The thought. Now it's just a thought. See? Then when He spoke it and said, it shall be, Jesus was slain. See? It was just a thought. But the difference is, it was an eternal thought. It wasn't a man thought. It wasn't a carnal thought. It wasn't a natural thought. It was an eternal thought. Amen. Now you put yourself in there. You put yourself in there.
Yes, sir.
You was an eternal thought. Not just a thought. An eternal thought.
Amen.
The rest of them are not even recognized. They're not recognized by God. Brother Branham called them cannon fodder.
Yes, sir.
Somebody was talking, that definition come out. Everybody knows what that is, right? Cannon fodder? You know, in the old days, in the battles, and frankly, it's the same, because those big guys, they don't care nothing about the little guys. But in the old days, when they went into battle, they had the little, what they called peon soldiers. They didn't care about them. They were considered expendable, okay? Then you had your more elite, then you had those right around the big guy, okay? And these were his favorites, these were his most trained, they had the best uniform, they had the best everything. But those guys out there on the front, they were expendable. And they were called cannon fodder. They were called cannon fodder because they would send them out there to die and didn't care that they died. Pretty sad, but that just shows you who's in those things. It's the devil.
That's right.
It's the devil. See, it's just a thought now. Then when he spoke it and said, it shall be, Jesus was slain. The very minute God spoke the word. Then what? 4,000 years later, he come and paid the price that God had already done back there by his word. He had already done it as soon as it was spoke. But it was 4,000 years later before it manifested. But it was an eternal thought. All the devils in hell couldn't keep him from coming. God had already spoken. Praise be to God. The Bible said, it said your names was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Oh my. The same time that God sent Christ to be slain. He wrote your name with His. Hallelujah. There you are, see. Your name was written, see, before the foundation of the world. He said, this is a scripture, you know this in Revelation. He would deceive all, great and small. So many were church members, pretended Christians. He would deceive all whose names were not written. Not in the church book, but in the Lamb's book of life. All those whose names were not in the book would be deceived. It was promised. It was prophesied. It was seen. Their purpose was to fulfill that God had an attribute. And you don't hear Brother Branham saying this. He always talks about the Savior. God's attribute was to be a judge. He was to be a judge. And that's why we read in Exodus 13 and 14, when he told Moses not to cry, but to speak.
Yes.
Then he changed his position, just like he did in this day, when he went from mediator,
yes, sir,
to king, to lion. He left Moses in the front and he went to the back and stood between Israel and the Egyptians.
Right.
And he did one thing. He delivered judgment.
Amen.
And when he changed from the mediator to the judge in this last day, immediately judgment began into the earth.
That's right.
You know what happened in Alaska. You know what has went now around the world. Look at the things. The good thing. It's kind of quiet down a little bit. It's quiet down. But you know, for a while, those tsunamis, those, you know, At one time, very few people knew what a tsunami was. Now, go anywhere in the world. These little islands, these little tribal people knew nothing about it, didn't care nothing about it. Everybody knows everywhere. And if, when people go to the beach, they go to the coast, they have a new respect. If they see waves going out too far, they start backing up. They start thinking, what's going on here? Before these days, nobody thought on those things. Nobody, there was no recognition of that.
That's right.
Those things are new. Those things happened in this day. Those are judgments in this day. And though, and all of these diseases, we got diseases today they never heard of before, never come to pass before.
Amen.
Now they're everywhere, everywhere. Paragraph 54. Now those who he has called, he has justified. He called them before the foundation of the world. And those who he called, he has justified. And those who he justified, he has already glorified. See, the same God that before the foundation of the world called your name and wrote it on the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. Amen. Praise be to God. See, and this morning, by the Holy Spirit, through the words bringing you the good news, that from before the foundation of the world, God wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he says this over and over and over in this message. From the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. And he's telling us those eternal thoughts. Back here, they didn't even know. They didn't even know about this revelation of the thoughts of God being eternal. That was a new concept. That was a new thing that was revealed in this last day. See? Then be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. How can you be? When it's not my perfection, it's not your perfection. It's His perfection of His Word. That He chose you.
Amen.
You never chose Him.
Amen.
You go from one side to the other side, back and forth and back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And the where it gets messed up is when you take this idea, and this quote, and this quote, and then you just keep doing this to them. You just keep pushing them farther apart, and farther apart, and farther apart, until you have two pictures instead of one.
Yes.
Just keep bringing them like this.
Amen.
Just keep bringing them like this until they become like this.
That's right.
And they just become one.
Yes, sir.
Because there's nothing in there contradicts.
Amen.
No, it doesn't. I don't believe it. You say, no, I can show you where he said this way, and then he said that. Yeah, that was put in there for a purpose.
That's right.
That was put in there to make you go away.
Yep.
If you don't have a seed of God in there, that was put there so you would walk away.
Yes.
So you would doubt. So you would not believe it. You never chose him. He brought you into Christ. He brought you into Christ. He chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. And you are secure with Jesus Christ. See, just as perfect as Christ was before God. And you're not standing with your own. You're standing in Him. With one thing. I believe God.
Amen.
That's what you're standing on. Amen. Praise God. You are just a tool in God's hands. That's what you are. Every one of you. You're just a tool. And for the non-seed out there, they're still a tool. And God is using them for His purpose. God is using them for His purpose. And this is a master plan. It's the, Brother Rand says, it's a great drama that's just acting out. You're just actors in this great drama. You, there's just the good guys and the bad guys and they have their purpose. You have your purpose. You can't help it. This is not, You didn't decide that you were going to do this. You say, no, wait, now you're leaving free moral agency. God drawed you. God pulled you. God revealed it to you.
Amen.
God chose you before the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
And He put the desire in you that made you want it. You didn't want it. You would have never came to Him. He made you want it.
Amen.
Can you remember? Now, and I forget. I don't forget, but sometimes I start to say something, and then I realize how many people, Brother Goomba, many people were raised in the message. And not like us older people, that we were not raised in the message. And we didn't, we were so far out there. I can remember when I first come into the message, there were very, very few message churches. And in those days, we were meeting in a home, just like we're doing here. We were just meeting in a home, but there was two widow women, a juvenile delinquent, the pastor, and myself. And then eventually Sister Rhonda come. And so that's where we were. And so when I began to hear these things, I thought, this is out of this world. This is so unbelievable. Who can believe it? And the only consolation you had was you're believing it. And you're knowing that it's true. And so you're like this. You want to tell the whole world. And Satan is saying, nobody's going to believe it. Nobody's going to believe it. Calm down. Calm down. Nobody's going to believe this. But you're still trying. You're still wanting to tell people. You're saying, listen to this. Look at this. And I told you before, I went straight. We lived in a small farming town. And it was about 30, 40 miles away was the city, Gainesville, Florida. And a college town. And I went over there because we didn't have the stores in those days. It's grown up now. But I went over to the Bible bookstore. And I told him, I said, I need some books. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, what's the author? I said, William Branham. I said, I want all the books you got on William Branham. And he said, who? And I said, William Merriam Branham. He said, well, let me check. He said, I don't think I've heard of him. And he was a good guy because he went up and down the aisles. He went in the back of the store and checked in the back of the store. And he searched and he searched and he searched. He said, I'm sorry. He said, I can't find anything. And, you know, I was trying to tell him that he was a prophet, that this was, you know, a great, great preacher. And he said, I don't know. He said, I can't find anything. And so he said, but I have Billy Graham here. And he said, I have Oral Roberts and I have this. And I said, no, that ain't going to do it. That's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. So there was something down there. But many times we thought, oh, this is, people can't believe it. This is going to be too much. But then as we come into the message, you become more real. The same thing, Satan kept trying to say the same thing. As the revelation got greater, and it got greater. Brother Gilman, when it got to the rapture, we thought, who's going to believe this? Who's going to believe we're in the rapture? Who's going to believe that water baptism is not going to save you today?
Right.
Who's going to believe the mediatorial work is finished, and the blood covenant is over,
right.
And we're now under a spirit covenant, a totally different covenant, an eternal covenant, not an everlasting covenant.
That's right.
We didn't even know it was everlasting. We didn't know the difference of anything.
Amen.
Every bit of it was revelation after revelation after revelation.
Yes.
Praise God. Let us stand together. Amen. We thank you so much. Brother Goomba, come. Just come. Praise God.
You got to listen, brother.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, brother. God bless you. Nice to be home again. I think I'm a bit tired, boss. We both slept very good. And it's been a long journey, but we really thank the Lord because He's given us a good trip. We're here, we're back home. And thank you very much for your prayers. And I felt so good to come here. We just ate, and Brother Joe, me and Brother Joe said, I don't think the girls are going to come to the fellowship. So I just sneak out and go with the boys. So you go out. And you go to your age, you say, you're going to go anyhow. And they just want to sneak and sit down and then like that. Well, why would not let us do that?
And Brian wouldn't let you get away. No, I'm going.
Right, that's right. And thank you very much. And I really love you, and I know that you love me.
Amen.
And both you can see the kind of love that we have here. It rains over the people. It's so great. We love people. Mm-hmm. And we love brothers and sisters, and we love one another. And I was telling brother also that Don was telling me yesterday, I told him, when this morning as we came, I told him, but Don wanted to call off the fellowship so that they can come to the. I said, no, brother. Let's have the fellowship, no problem. And we didn't know that we would come to the fellowship. And then, but we are very happy. We love you. We love you very, very much. And I hope by God's grace I represented you well to the people, different groups that I visited. And I had a very successful trip, very good. And maybe I'll talk about it on Sunday. And it was great. It was very, 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 very good. And people are very happy that I went. Now, this is a bit deep. We discussed a bit with Dawn. We talked about, I think we talked very much. I don't know where we start. I don't know where we end, but I don't know where we start talking.
We just talk. You just kept going. You just kept going.
Way. Just like that. But one of the things that you said today, Brother Don, is, and I think it can be taken wrong by very many people, that there's no choosing. You said that. You said that as you passed by. I don't know even you said, you knew that you said that. There's no choosing. I mean, there's no choice. It's no choice.
Yes.
I mean, that's a very strong statement. And very many people can take this quote and go with it this way. But I'd like you to tell me what Saturn would choose. What would Saturn choose? He doesn't have any other choice. He's going to be Saturn. Right. There's no way any other way.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and somebody without the seed of God, is that... There's no way you give him three more ages or don't give him more three more ages. And I'm not trying to bring that statement down that there's free moral agency. I know there's free moral agency. But give somebody that does not have the seed of God the free moral agency and tell him to choose God.
Yeah.
He can't. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And give a son of God free moral agency and tell him to choose the devil. He can.
That's right.
There's no way to do nothing. He's there. He's God to begin with. He cannot choose nothing else but himself. So I think we go overboard with thinking that God is so weak. Sometimes that's how it amounts to.
Yeah.
That God is so weak, he cannot control anything. When he gives you the free moral agency, now you can drive it. You can drive it wherever you want. He's the driver. He's the one driving it. He's the one who calls you. He's the one who takes you to himself. He's the one who does you that. And that, my brother, is very good. But even your stature, even your, the size that you are built, that's why Richard Dozier is shorter than Michael. For a part, God built it. And that system is very good, brother. But he brought 6,000 years. He brought a mother and a father and brought this and this and mix this and mix this and mix this to bring the Jack the way he is for his purpose. God doing it. God, not the Jack Dozier. Roger Dozier could have maybe chosen to be born in Africa, a black man. No, God brought you like that for a purpose. It's his choice. It's not your choice. You have all the choices you want. You're not going to choose nothing but to be a white man, a short man, a believer. Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the great love that your children have for one another. Lord God, you said that when we display that love, everybody will know that, Lord God, we belong to you, that we are your children, that we are your disciples, Father. Thank you, Father, for the great things you've done in the hearts of the believers. The revelation of your word, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for everything that you have done to us. Thank you for the sermon tonight, Lord. This great revelation here, O Father. And help us, Father, to be able to dissect it, to see exactly where each statement really is, Lord. Because you talk this way, you talk this way, and you say that you talk like that, Father, that the seed, the non-seed, Father, can go away. But the seed, Lord, will come there and stay with you, Father, unless until they get it, Lord. Thank you for making us get it. Thank you for making us see the revelation of this word, Lord. Thank you, Father, for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.